So, there are children with us. I can't see very many of you because it's quite dark, but I know they're around. I can hear them. Are you ready for Christmas? Okay. Some older children are ready for Christmas too. To you, I say patience. Christmas isn't here yet. To the adults, I've got a question for you. Are you ready for Christmas? Oh, my goodness. I'm really impressed. Come do my shopping then. Well, to you, I was going to say, if you're not quite ready, don't panic, because Christmas isn't here yet. In fact, this is the season of Advent, and I don't want us to rush on too quickly. That's why we've been thinking about the Advent carol candles right the way through this last 4 weeks, thinking and preparing so that we understand the meaning of Christmas. It wouldn't be good, would it, if we just arrived on Christmas Day, ripped open those presents, assuming one or two of you might get one. Thanks, that was great. Right, where's the turkey? And that would be it. End of the day. All that expectation gone. Christmas wouldn't last very long. Surely there's got to be more than that. Well, the good news is that the coming of Jesus was far more meaningful than just that. And that's what I want us to think about. I've talked about Advent candles. They've reminded us of something. Could I put my PowerPoint up, Richard, please? They remind us of what the real meaning is through some of the key themes, through these candles of hope and love and joy. And the one we've lit today, the candle of peace. They remind us of what Christmas is really about. And I want us to think about that final one, peace, particularly this evening. Peace. You see the word everywhere, don't you? You're bombarded with it. On baubles of trees, cards, on lights. I noticed that even in the corner here, someone very kindly had put a nice little display of another ornament with peace on it. It's everywhere. We're constantly reminded of that as association. And then the word occurs in so many of the carols that we've just been singing. Do you know your carols? If I put some lines from the carols on the screen, I wonder whether you can guess which carol they're from. Try this one. And praises sing to God the King and peace to men on earth. Hark the herald, God rest you merry gentlemen. Anyone else? Oh, little town of Bethlehem. We'll have to do it again. Try another one. Peace on earth and mercy mild. Hark the herald. Glory to the newborn king, absolutely. Next one, try this. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hark the herald, trick question. Sorry, I gave you two on the run. Hark the herald, last one. And on the earth be peace. Yes, I heard a wild shepherd's there. While shepherds watch their flocks, all glory be to God on high, and on the earth be peace. It's funny, listening up here, could hear you all kind of beginning to hum it. And whoever it was that had that Elvis song, you're way out. But, here we go. These are the ways in which this word peace occurs throughout this season. And then, of course, we just watched that video, stunning images of a child, thinking about a video that spoke about a reading that someone had given previously. And that reading was from a prophetic word given hundreds of years before Jesus was ever born, to a people who knew very little of peace. Actually, they'd known little more than conflict and the oppressive attitude of kings over them for centuries. And to them, they had this message that a child would come. Unto you will be born a child, and his name will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And Prince of Peace was one of his titles. Prince of Peace. And then Luke's Gospel, one of the other readings that we had, would tell us that how and who that peace would come to. I don't know whether you remember, but we spoke about an angel coming, then surrounded by a whole host of angels, all declaring and praising to God, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men. So Jesus, the one who was promised, the anointed, the special one, the Messiah, came into this world, born as a child on that first Christmas day, to bring peace. Here's the problem. 2,000 years later, as we look around, where is that peace? Do you see much of that peace around you? With the crisis in Gaza, the rise of Islamist militants in Iraq, Syria, Pakistan, spilling onto the streets of Europe, Australia, Boko Haram in Africa, the international standoff in the Ukraine, North Korea doing these cyber attacks, taking all these nice films, or not so nice. It can sometimes feel like the whole world is actually at war. Do you know there was a survey carried out recently by an institute called the Institute of Economics and Peace? I didn't know there was one, but they did. They carried out a survey. And of the 162 countries that came under that survey, just 11 had no involvement with crisis of this kind. Just 11 didn't have conflict of one kind or another. So we read our newspapers, we listen to the news reports, and it's just depressing, isn't it? Because there seems to be no peace around this world at all. And it's not like people haven't tried to find peace. I'm sure you're all familiar with that John Lennon song, Imagine. Yeah, you know the song. In the eyes of the world, probably one of the best known peace songs of a generation. How sad and ironic that John Lennon was murdered, gunned down outside his apartment in New York, believe it or not, 34 years ago this month. So much for peace. Peace appears to be rather elusive. So what of the peace that comes to men through Jesus that we've just been singing about? First, let me clarify something, can I? With stories all around of Father Christmas, pantomimes, Peter Pan, you know the thing, the sorts of things that are around all over the place. No wonder children, especially in our schools, because I hear it all the time, get confused between those modern traditions and the real meaning of Jesus coming. Let me be clear. Jesus was not Tinkerbell sprinkling this pixie dust of peace to everybody. Have a little peace. Here, you have some peace too. Touch the baby Jesus. Have a life of peace. That's ridiculous, but sometimes that's how people think of it. Now, to understand the peace of Christmas, we need to understand what things were like before Jesus. From the very beginning of time, people had rejected God. They'd ignored him. They'd gone. They'd done their own thing and were living lives that were so far away from the standard God had expected. As a consequence, their relationship between God and people had broken. There was no peace with God. Jesus came to restore that relationship and so to bring peace. We tend to think of peace as being the absence of a conflict or war. But you know, those things are just the side effects for people that don't have a peace inside them. It's the outpouring, outflowing of anger and hatred and bitterness that comes because people are not at peace inside. Peace that Christmas speaks about is the peace of being right with God. Peace with God is peace within. Let me try and illustrate that. Just over 100 years ago, some discoveries were made that would have made Indiana Jones proud. Two beautiful silver goblets were discovered. Absolutely magnificent, both of them coming from an Irish Celtic tradition. The first was this one. Known as the Gundestrup Cauldron. It's impressive, isn't it? The name comes from the place where it was found in Denmark. The Gundestrup Cauldron. And this was from a time before the Celts knew anything about Jesus. This was a time when people worshipped violent pagan gods. And along the outside, if you can see the detail, it is adorned with images of warfare and warriors and killing. And on the inside, there's an image in one of those screens of a big individual, a huge giant, it's suggested that must have been a god, holding a squirming human being by the leg and dunking it in a large pot of some sort. The thought being that these gods demanded human sacrifices to appease their appetite. Then there's the second cup. And this second cup is called the Ardar Chalice. This was found by two boys digging in a potato field in Ireland. Talk about hitting, well, not gold, but silver. Christmas coming early for them. And this cup was from the 7th or 8th centuries. And by that time, the Celtic communities had discovered Christianity and embraced it. Now, like the first cup, this cup is a work of real craftsmanship. But the god that's depicted on this cup is radically different from the one on the first. First, it has very simple but incredibly intricate in places golden inlay on this cup. And the names of the 12 apostles around the top of the rim. But it's different from the first because this is a cup of peace and it was designed to be used in communion. So in the first cup, we see depicted a civilization of complete disorder where violence and fear ruled. And in the second, we see an order where people had discovered Jesus, where peace with God reigned, where people celebrated a life, a link with God. The point I'm making is this. The source of inner peace in any civilization comes, true peace, from God. It's their relationship with God. And that first Christmas, peace came from God and dwelt in our world. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Peace is from God. When our relationship is restored once more through Jesus, what happens is God gives us this peace. In the New Testament, we read that we get the Holy Spirit within us. And one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, and peace. It's a gift from God. It doesn't mean that the world around us and all our circumstances will suddenly be fantastic. Of course not. It doesn't mean that we won't get stressed. We're still human. This world is still broken. But when we do suffer difficulties, God has promised that we can come to him, bring these things to him, and he will give us peace. Let me read you what the Apostle Paul wrote. He said, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, and with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which is beyond all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ." Someone put a more modern translation on that, and he said this, "Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down." Peace comes from God, but it comes through Jesus. God's peace is not something that we can just conjure up ourselves. We can't just earn it. You can't attain it through effort. It is a gift of God, but it comes through Christ. Let me read you another complicated verse that comes from our New Testament, but I'll explain it as I go. For God was pleased through him, that's Jesus, to reconcile himself to himself all things. In other words, to make everything with him right, to make it okay, by making peace through his blood. That's Jesus. His blood shed on the cross. That's why Easter and Christmas are so tightly linked. The peace of Christmas comes because Jesus would go on and shed his blood for us on the cross. So Jesus was a gift to this world, to bring peace to this world, but to do it by giving peace to people in this world. A father was sitting watching television when his son came running over and said, "Dad, can you play with me?" Well, Dad enjoyed playing with his son and planned to give him plenty of time, but not just yet. "Soon, son, soon," said Dad, "when this program finishes." 5 minutes later, little boy runs back. "Dad, can we play now?" "Soon, son, soon, when this program finishes." 2 minutes later, boy runs back again. "Dad, is it time to play yet?" You've all been there. You know what it's like. Dad realizes he's not going to get any peace himself. So he decides to set his son a task that will take him some time. And he notices a picture on the front cover of a magazine. It's a picture of the world right in front of him. So he takes and rips that front cover off. And he tears up the map of the world into small pieces. Then he speaks to his son. He says, "Now, son, I've got a game for you." He said, "Take the pieces of this picture of the world and you see if you can put them all back together again. And when you've done that, come back to me and we can play." Now, the son was really enthusiastic. "Oh, this is fantastic. Children love things like that. That's great." So he enthusiastically takes these little bits away and goes off and gets on with the job. Meanwhile, Dad's thinking to himself, "Hey, I've just got half an hour free to watch the end of this program. Fantastic." Until 5 minutes later, when his son comes back again and says to him, "Dad, I finished the puzzle. Can we play now?" The father just thinks for a second, just says, "What?" And he looks, and he's stunned when he holds up the picture. And there is the world. Every piece put in by sticky tape perfectly into the right position. The first thing that goes through his head is, "My son is a genius. He takes after me." And then he thought about it and thought, "Hang on a minute, it'd take me 20 minutes to do that. He didn't take after me." And he thinks, "How has he possibly done it?" So he asks his son, "How did you do that so easily?" "Oh, it was easy, Dad," said the son. "On the back of the picture of the world was a picture of a person. I just stuck the person together, and that's when the world came together." This world is all messed up, but God is putting it back together one person at a time. And as his peace comes into the lives of people, so God's world is being renewed. And God wants to make people his reservoir of that peace. That's why Christmas is so often remembered and is a thought to so many people, a reminder of the goodness of God, the goodness in the world, and a reminder of the need to come together to make this world better. I want to show you a video in a moment. This year, we've been focusing very much on the centenary of the beginning of the First World War. Well, almost exactly 100 years ago to the day, after one of the wettest autumns on record, in the middle of one of the greatest horrors this world has ever seen, I'm talking about the trenches and of the First World War. Something amazing happened as people once again allowed God to have a place in their midst. Watch this.
Jenkins, Oakley.
Knight.
I'm Britta, come!
Jim?
Jim, no, don't do it!
Halt! Es ist nicht bewaffnet! Nein, Otto!
Jim!
My name is Jim.
Mein Name ist Otto.
Pleased to meet you, Otto.
Freut mich.
Rose, she's called.
Schön, Das ist schön.
Perhaps seen it as the Sainsbury's Christmas advert this year, based on events that actually happened, when just for a moment people realised they had more in common. At the time of Christmas, they remembered they had a God who was a God of peace. Maybe you are at war this evening. Maybe you're at war with yourself. Or maybe you're at war with God because you're not quite right with him. Perhaps you're at war with other people or with the world. Well, if that's you today, then God invites you to come and know his peace this Christmas time. But here's the rub. The angel explained to the shepherds that the good news of great joy was for all people. But nowhere did the angels say that peace, God's peace, was for all people. Actually, he said just the opposite. He said, peace on earth is restricted to those on whom God's favor rests. Not everyone gets to have God's peace. Only people who are pleasing to God get to receive his peace. And you might say, hang on, that sounds a little bit exclusive. That's because it is. The fact is, some people are excluded from God's peace. And they are those people with whom he's not pleased. But before you shout and jump up and down and say, that's not fair, just notice who that message is given to. It's given to the shepherds. The angels appeared to the shepherds. And in their day, these were the outcasts of society. They were looked down upon, the lowest of the low. These were the people who always had to stay with the sheep. They didn't ever get to go to the temple, so they were considered to be spiritually unclean. But God chose to reveal his plan to these simple, unclean shepherds who the rest of the world had rejected. Is God's peace selective? Yes, it is. It only comes to those with whom God is pleased. But is God selective? No, he's not. The message is for all people. You just have to choose to receive him and then to receive that peace. Anyone can believe in the one through whom peace came, which was Jesus. The one who came as a baby, lived as a man, and died as a sacrifice to bring peace to you and to me.